The Gospel according to Luke 17, chapter, starting with verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and their helper, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Zechariah was a normal young man. He was born of two parents. He was healthy. He grew up faithful like most Samaritans do. He observed the holy festivals. He traveled to Mount Gerizim for the holy days, such as Passover, as was his family's custom every year. After years of apprenticeship and hard work, he was about to take over his father's construction business. He was well-liked and well-known throughout Samaria. He even had a love interest, the most beautiful woman Zechariah ever saw. They would talk for hours and hours. She would often meet him at his father's business with fresh bread and fruits. Zechariah desired to marry this beautiful woman, who was faithful, kind, and always paid him special interest. He wanted to wait until his father's business was his own so that he could be his own man. "Once my dad gives me his business," he thought, "then I can ask Ruth's parents for her hand in marriage." With a smile of this thought, he then closed his eyes and went to bed. Now, the next day was a day that no one could have expected. His dad sent him off to a nearby village on his own between Samaria and Galilee. There he was to repair a fence of a dear family friend that his father had run into a week before. This journey to where Zechariah was to go was just a few miles, maybe an hour of brisk walking. And Zechariah, on his way, was quick with his pace. He was making considerable time when all of a sudden he heard a frantic noise. He stopped and looked all around him. At first, he didn't see anything. Then he heard it again. "Help! Help! You there, can't you help me?" Zechariah looks to the left of him, and down off the road in a ditch, he sees this body lying there where the voice spoke to him. That body was lying there, bloodied and ragged. Zechariah slowly began to approach this man who was nearly hidden from his sight. And as he drew nearer, he noticed that this man's clothes were completely torn. They were ragged. There were deep gashes all over this man's body. He had clearly been attacked by a wild animal. "What happened?" Zechariah asked the man, still deciding whether he should approach this man or not. "Please," sputtered the man as he coughed up some blood. tell my family. Those were the last words this man spoke. With the corpse lying there, all sense drained from Zechariah's mind. With all the adrenaline pumping through his body and his veins, he approached the man to see if he was truly dead. He felt wrong leaving this guy there all alone, even if he was dead. Nearby, he noticed a small opening in a cliff, just big enough to fit this man's body, he supposed. So he grabbed hold of the body, knowing full well he would need to cleanse himself afterwards, for of course it was unclean to touch a dead body. And as he was dragging the man over to this hole, he noticed, he saw that the man's garments were torn from the neck down to his stomach by hand. He saw on either sides of this tear were gashes from the animal that attacked him, but that middle tear was not the work of an animal. Suddenly, he then noticed wounds and open lesions all over this guy's body, up and down his arms and on his neck. Zechariah immediately drops the body. Panic flooded into his head. This man, he decided to touch, was leprous. Zechariah got on his hands and knees and prayed, "Lord God, protect me from this disease. If I become unclean, bring your servant healing. Make me clean again." So he left the body of the man there, not fully realizing what exactly he had just done. And Zechariah continues to hurry on his way to the friend's house in the village. But first, when he enters the village, he has to go to the priests to become clean again. So he heads to the priests and tells them everything that had just happened to him on the road. But out of fear, he decides to not say anything about the leprous body. The priest then instructs Zechariah to come back on the third and seventh day of the week for some ritual sprinkling of water so that he would then be clean again. And that's exactly what Zechariah did. After the seventh day, when he was finally clean, he went to the house of the family friend to fix this fence that he was supposed to fix. And he apologized to them incessantly for the delay. As he got to work, he noticed himself becoming way more lethargic than he expected himself to be. He was only able to work out in the heat maybe an hour or so before he needed to take a break. Family friend asked him if he was feeling okay. Then they pointed out a strange mark that had appeared on Zechariah's hand. The spot on his hand was starting to swell, with much of the area appearing raw and opened. Immediately, Zechariah went back to the priests and showed them his hand. And the priests knew immediately what this was. And they shouted out, "Unclean! Unclean! Get out of here! Out of the village!" So shamed, tired, alone, Zechariah made his way out of the village. And he tore his clothes in the same fashion that the dead body's clothes were torn just a week ago. Zechariah walked until his legs would not move another inch. And where his body collapsed is where he decided to set up camp. Even now, he remembered the prayer that he prayed just a week ago. "Lord God, protect me from this disease. If I become unclean, bring your servant healing. Make me clean again." And there, where he set up camp, is where Zechariah lived, a pathetic shell of a man that he saw himself becoming. Weak, tired, and angry, the days turned into weeks. The months turned into years. The sores grew all over his body, but he did not die. Zechariah longed for company, being here all alone by himself. And during the years of sitting and waiting to die, others who were also infected eventually made their way and came to stay with him. It was a sad and lonely bunch. What would eventually be the 10 of them. Miserable, broken, and empty, they lived on, wanting nothing more than to die. Every now and again, travelers would stray too far off the path and come near their encampment, to which they would have to shout in unison, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," so that those stray travelers would steer clear of their camp. As the days passed, they would recount their miserable lives to one another, but none were quite as miserable as Zechariah. A faithful man who had all his life before him. Now he was hardly even able to recall the smile on Ruth's face he so desired to see again. Those 10 lived as outcasts, trashed by society, because that was the law. And Zechariah felt even more cut off and separated than the other 9. He was a Samaritan, after all. The other 9 were Jews from Galilee, so they did not get along with one another. Once they found out Zechariah was a Samaritan, they kept their distance even from him. He truly had no one. "What could I have done to deserve all of this?" Zechariah often wondered. "Is this my reward for helping a stranger on the side of the road?" Even in his bitterness, he would remember that prayer that he said so long ago. Suddenly, Zechariah felt something stir within himself, within his very being. He began to feel oddly warm, and for the first time in a long time, he felt a sense of joy and happiness. He looked around at the others that were sitting at their distance at the camp, and he could tell that they were feeling this odd sensation too. Without hesitation or even a thought, the 10 stood up in unison, and they looked to the west. There, in the distance, a figure was walking on, almost at the gate of the village. Before they knew it, the band of 10 started walking towards this man and towards the city. Unsure of what exactly they were trying to accomplish, the lepers couldn't stop themselves. As they drew nearer, they felt that feeling of happiness and joy start to grow. In unison, they shouted out loud. Zechariah expected them all to shout out, "Unclean, unclean." In fact, that is what he meant to say. What came out was something different altogether. "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." This Jesus, whom Zechariah had heard the other lepers talking about before, did something very unexpected. He didn't touch them or even approach them. He simply said from a distance, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And that's just what the lepers began to do. On the way towards the priests, still feeling unusually warm and happy, the lepers noticed that all of a sudden they were all healed. Every open sore was closed. The infections completely disappeared. Boils and marks were all gone. Each of the 10 lepers appeared just as normal as any other man or woman. Zechariah immediately stopped. That same prayer he said so long ago came back into his mind. He just had to see Jesus. He had to see the answer to his prayer from so long ago, face to face. Lord God, protect me from this disease. If I become unclean, bring your servant healing. Make me clean again. By the simple words of one man, go, show yourselves to the priests. The 10 lepers were no longer cut off from the world. They could all return to their homes, their family, their friends, their lives. For the first time in a long time, they were all clean. This event of Jesus healing these 10 lepers was just another example of Jesus bringing about the kingdom of God and making that kingdom of God known. The kingdom of God is the ultimate reversal of all that had ever gone wrong in the fallen world. All the death, disease, illness, demonic possession, hunger, sadness, pain, being cut off and discarded. None of those have any place in God's kingdom. Jesus' ministry here on earth was a tiny foretaste of God's everlasting kingdom that is yet to come. God's kingdom that the 10 lepers were able to experience as their leprosy was completely healed and removed, clean and able to live among their neighbors. Not only did this event give the 10 lepers a foretaste of God's kingdom, but it also shows us a bit of our lives as well. You see, we all share a lot in common with the 10 lepers. Everyone here has a terrible disease. I have it. Pastor Scott has it. All of us have this terrible disease. For some of us, it was caught pretty early on, just a few days after birth. For others like me, a little later on in childhood. For even others, later on in adulthood. Many are not even aware that they have it. Its symptoms are nasty. Pain, despair, death. And that's just to name a few. The list could go on and on and on. The worst part is this disease is not easily found by a doctor. Nor would a doctor be any use anyway. There's no cure for you or for me that this doctor could offer. There's no cure any of us can offer. You don't need to worry about masking up because of it. Everyone already has it. It's not leprosy. We could only be so lucky. It's the disease of sin. We all bear it in every fiber of our bodies. It's so much a part of us that we cannot even act apart from this disease. In certain times and places, it even controls what we do. It controls us. Our disease forces us to do the unthinkable sometimes. Our disease of sin is a cancer to us. It leads us to do unspeakable things when we're alone and no one is watching. It keeps us concerned with ourselves, only of ourselves and what we want. Worst of all, this disease of sin cuts us off completely from God. We're very much like the 10 lepers who were cut off from the village and forced to live on their own. But we're not just cut off from a village. We are cut off from God, the very one who created us. We're cut off from life and from all things good. And much like the 10 lepers, we cannot do a single thing except sit and wait around to die, doomed to a miserable eternity. As I mentioned before, though, for some of us, this disease has been caught. We know about it. The disease of sin is not gone, but its effects have been mitigated. In the same way as the 10 lepers, you have received a cure from Jesus. Jesus gave you the cure of your disease of sin by washing you clean in the waters of baptism, where he gave you his own Spirit. And that Spirit that you have within you is what mitigates the effects of this disease of sin every single day of your lives. This cure that we've been given by Jesus is just a foretaste of the kingdom of God for you. Every day, as you are washed clean and made anew through baptism, every time you taste of the forgiveness of our Lord's body and blood, you are given a taste of God's kingdom. Jesus invites you into his kingdom by making you clean. See these hands, my feet, my side, he said. These are the marks I bore for you. You are worth more to me than my own life. This is what it took to cure you. And with his own death, Jesus cleansed you of your disease of sin, just as he did with the leprosy of the 10. He saw you cut off from the Father, and he said, "Let me go and make a way." So only by the blood of Jesus have you been made well and cut and brought back to the Father. Yet Jesus did not just heal the 10 lepers so that they could sit around in their lonely camp in misery. When Zechariah returned to Jesus, Jesus told him, "Rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Likewise, you have not been healed to live in the same way. You have been healed so that you might go on your way and let others know that they also are in need of healing and who it is that can heal them. You have been healed to help your neighbors, to not care about yourself at all. You have been healed to help get the world ready for the coming kingdom of God. Together, we wait and anticipate this coming kingdom of God when our healer, Jesus, returns. Then we will all be healed once and for all, when our bodies are made new and our souls are reunited with our bodies. Then and only then will we truly and fully experience what until now we have only tasted. So come soon and come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.